It's the internet. You're busy. Let's do this. Welcome to the Games Beat Decides podcast. This is the podcast where we decide everything in the world of video games so you don't have to think for yourself. I'm your host, Jeffrey Grubb. With me is
Mike Minotti.
Today's episode, we have news, games, lots of big rumors, lots of big meaty topics to talk about. I'm excited to get into it. How are you doing, Mike? It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, we had one day of nice weather this week in Ohio, and even that has just lifted up my mood immeasurably. The fact that I went on a walk with just a hoodie and had a beer on my patio, I'm ready to conquer the world now.
I know Ohio is different because Ohio, the snow comes and it turns into slush for months and months and months. And that's not how it is here in Denver. We get snow, but it stays on the lawn. And then it everywhere else where you walk and drive, it melts because the sun is out 300 days a year. But I am at a point where I really like winter so much that now that it's been 50 degrees for a couple days, I'm just man, I feel like shit. I just want the cold weather back.
Oh, my God. We didn't really have a slushy winter this year. It was weird because we didn't have too much. We didn't have many big snowfalls, but we had one decent one, and then it was freezing. So we had a layer of ice around for a month, it felt this year. It was interesting. Let's cancel that Elden Ring news and just talk about the Ohio. There's no Elden Ring news. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit about Elden Ring because, of course, that went down this past week. First, though, thank you, everybody, for joining us. You can get more from Mike and me at gamesbeat.com. If you have something to share with us, email the podcast at gamespluspodcast@venturebeat.com or get us on Twitter @gamesbeat. Thank you to Carlos Ayn, who is Insane in the Rain Music on YouTube, for the use of our theme song. I was listening to some Insane in the Rain Music last night. Man, that guy's got some really good covers. Lots of really good covers. The Me Channel music cover that they did, it's perfect.
Does he do any Mega Man?
I think he does a lot of Pokemon. He might have done. He did a couple Mega Man. I think it was Mega Man X games. The Mega Man X ones. Yeah,
that probably fit his style. I guess it's pretty hard to be a video game music remixer and not do a Mega Man song.
He plays the horns. That's what he does. He plays a saxophone. I think it's alto or baritone. And then he brings on some other saxophonists to play. It's good stuff. Check it out. If you are listening to this on the website player widget, or if you're watching on YouTube, hello, everybody out there right now. There's an audio version of the show that you could subscribe to on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever pods are caught. Lastly, join the Discord. The link is in the description. And when you join, there's some information there about a Patreon you could do to support that Discord. There's some secret channels, support the work we do here on the side with this podcast and how games make money and some of those tier lists and things like that. All right.
I have a question for you, Jeff.
Yeah, shoot.
Why did you leak the Elden Ring trailer?
I had a lengthy conversation with the person that gave me it, before it leaked, because the way that people were talking, it was very clear it got out there. And I'm Jason Schreier's this game's got pages. I'm he's seen the trailer. He's seen it. He's obviously seen it. And so I immediately went to the guy. I'm he's seen it. He's what are you talking about? I'm look at what he's saying. Clearly it's out there. And it took a while to convince that person that I was not the one that leaked it. Cause he said that, no, you and one other person and the other person I trust too, you are the only people that get this. And so I'm no. And the reason I knew it got out there eventually is cause I started getting it from other people and smaller snippets. And so I was let me talk to these people and see if they have anything else. And they gave me some screenshots that no one else has and that still haven't gotten out there, by the way. And I'm not they're not that excited. It's not that much different than what's in the trailer. So don't lose your minds about it or anything like that. And I showed that to the person. I'm see, I swear this person has their own source. He's oh, okay. And that finally convinced them. It was, a stressful 3 a.m. conversation.
So it wasn't even that guy's others. Person that he leaked it to is just a separate but equal leak.
Who knows? Who knows?
It's not you. It's not me.
Yeah.
Saying that you showed me anything.
Right? I definitely showed Mike, and I talked to someone
That's why last week that's why I tried to throw my hat in there too, and just to be I don't know when they're saying something, but I strongly agree with Jeff that this game is very real still.
That is the first little bit of news that I have here. Elden Ring trailer leak. That stuff, it did get out there. I was feeling those rumblings, and then Jason Schreier tweeted that, and I'm like, okay, it must have spread pretty wide. And then yes, clearly it got out there. And the whole thing that we saw, that we had, it was all four pieces that all got out there. Now, if you go to Elden Ring News, that YouTube channel that does like the update, like, oh, there's no Elden Ring news today. If you go to the channel for that day, it is like just uploads of all those videos finally. So I don't know. I think this might have. I guess if I'm a big Elden Ring fan, I don't know how to take this, because the other part of this information about this leak, and I think the trailer is still out there. I don't think Bandai Namco's taking it down or anything like that, or FromSoftware's right. taking it down.
It is like a video of like a trailer with watermarks. Like, if you, unless you're absolutely crazy to see something, you're probably better off waiting anyways. But yeah, sure, go ahead.
The other side of this is that it's pretty clear that this stuff is from quite a while ago. I've heard it's maybe as old as 2019, definitely as old as February 2020. That kind of lines up with some of the rumors that were going around, some of the things that's been hard to pin down for sure, but some of the stuff we heard that this game was maybe in line to release in 2020. And then because of the pandemic, they pushed it back. And now, does that mean it's coming out this year? I mean, it sounded like it was on track for 2020. So you would expect it still to come this year, but From hasn't talked about the game, but Bandai Namco haven't acknowledged any of this stuff. Maybe that's because it's still coming soon. My original thing that I said was, oh, by the end of March. I don't know if this throws a kink in that. I don't know if they stick to it. I imagine that they would, or else they would be saying something. I when this stuff started happening, and when they started, there was some like word about them doing like that stuff, like Bandai Namco Next, and there's a Games Night Japan live event by Famitsu happening in the next couple of days. I just straight up asked the PR, the person in charge of communications for Bandai Namco America, hey, just tell me if this isn't happening, so we can get out there and help spread the word, let people like turn down their anticipation, and no response. And then there's the last little bit of tidbit here, and then we can either open this conversation up or move on, because you're right, there isn't a lot of news. The last other tidbit is that it seems like Bandai Namco is cracking down on they knew the leak was out there before the leak went wide, is the impression that I got from, that's just the impression I got from out there. And when they cracked down on it, it wasn't just, oh, that they knew the leak was out there. It seemed like they also were preparing to talk about the game themselves. Now, what is the timeline for that? I still think I'm still in my gut now. At this point, it's kind of a gut thing where it's like, I still think by the end of March, but definitely by E3, I think. You should hear about this game by E3 for sure. I know that's like extending the timeline, but I think the leak, might have thrown a kink in the works, so...
Yeah, I mean, how do they feel when the game is leaked? Does it make them nervous? I mean, there's obviously such a crazy fervor for this game,
right,
that it's going to behoove them to talk about it sooner rather than later, just to kind of calm people down a bit. And at this point, I'm sure they're probably not too upset about the leak, because, it's not great footage and everybody's excited about it anyways, right? And they get the right headline. But I'm sure they would much rather people be looking at a nice video that they put out there based off of a more recent build. So, yeah, like, why not soon, right?
I agree. Yeah. I think they're preparing, and we'll just have to see how fast that timeline shapes up and ends up, putting out content for them to make announcements or whatever.
And to be clear, March is like, it's mostly just a. It's not a gut feeling. It's based off of some facts, but it's not like the person who sent us this trailer is also saying, sent you, that trailer is us saying March, right? So don't get too, and we said this last week, don't get super tied up on the March point.
Right, yeah.
Because I know the Elden Ring Reddit is checking us out, and I've poked around there, and they all seem pretty nice. They like you a lot, Jeff, and I'm the other guy. And so that's but yeah, so, it feels like it has to be soon.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Right. It's the March info was based on some early word. And then, there was a combination of factors. And I always kind of tried to phrase it like I was confident about it because of multiple things. And I hope it still pans out that way. And I'm still pretty confident that it'll pan out that way. But if it doesn't, I don't think you're gonna have to wait long. I don't think that this is like, you know, they're gonna shut up about it for a year or anything like that. We're in the soon time frame is still now, my understanding.
Now, be honest, when it leaked, was there any part of you that thought, oh my God, Mike leaked it?
No, I knew you. No, I'm like, honestly, I, because, you know, if I thought that, I would have to kill you. So, and I don't want to do that. No, yeah. You were speaking about the Reddit, or yeah, the subreddit for this thing. Apparently, there's a picture someone is going to post every day until I acknowledge it, and hopefully this doesn't count, of me with giant feet in front of me. And it's, I don't really understand it, but,
There's some good memes.
Yeah, some good memes. Yeah, and then there's that. Yeah. All right. Listen, as we get more Elden Ring info, we'll try to bring it to you. I don't think. I think there's a good chance, though, that the next time that we're talking about this game, it's going to be because Bandai Namco and From are talking about it. So hopefully that's sooner rather than later. Okay. More sort of, you know, rumors and reporting for the next story. New Super Nintendo Switch Pro is what I've written down here, because there's a bunch of different names for it. Nothing locked down there. But Bloomberg had a report, basically, and the two key tidbits from the report were that Nintendo is going to go for 4K when docked with this new upgraded Switch, and that it is also sourcing 7-inch 720p OLED screens from Samsung, which would be an improvement in terms of display quality, more than likely, and also in terms of efficiency. Mike, you wrote about this in like what you hope is also included. Did you want to go over any of that here?
It's more just about, you know, first off, you've been bringing up this point a lot about resolutions, right? And how sometimes it's about how 8K is completely unnecessary for the vast majority of people. And then it's about how for a screen on something like a Switch, much more than 720p is really not necessary. So that was kind of
overkill.
It's a major point that is fine. And how I'm happy about that, because all I really want from, you know, the new chip or GPU or little green computer men that they put in there is for, you know, better frame rates, more consistent frame rates. That's it. Like, aside from that, I don't even know what else I could really hope for. Like, I don't think we're getting an SSD drive in a Switch or anything like that. So, I mean, that's really it. The only other thing is, so I guess I can't really visualize the screen size and how much different that is than what we have. And if what that means for Joy-Cons, like, are old Joy-Cons going to work on this thing, or are we going to get a new wave of Joy-Cons? And is that going to finally give them an excuse to fix some of the major problems with that and get rid of things like Joy-Con drift and whatnot? Yeah, don't you? I know everyone loves when I talk specs because I understand them so goodly.
So the 7-inch screen, I think the standard Switch is 6.5 or 6.2. I think it's 6.2 inches. And if you blow that up to 7 inches, that screen can still fit into the current body of the current Switch.
Right, because there's that big black border and stuff.
That's smaller, with a smaller bezel, and that would look better. And then you could keep using your old Joy-Cons if you want. But then I would imagine that one of the points of selling an upgraded, improved Switch is maybe to sell it at a slightly higher price and then use better materials for the Joy-Cons. Because, you know, I think a big problem with the drift is just like they use cheap analog sticks and analog actuators. And, you know, if they spend a little bit more on that and they could justify that by, you know, starting to sell that in a more expensive Switch and then eventually like let that filter down through all the other systems, that would make a big difference. But I guess for me, I think based on these rumors, my guess here is that this system is really going to be kind of just a moderate upgrade. And I know there's people who always imagined like this was going to be the Switch 2. And I don't necessarily know why people thought that. And of course, there still will be a follow-up console to this. But this just feels like it's going to be a slight upgrade. And whether or not, you know, 4K and docked, this story doesn't talk about like whether or not that those sort of improvements would be seen on the handheld side. Are we still going to be playing, you know, games struggling to hit 30 frames per second in some cases at 720p and handheld? If that's the case, that's kind of, I think it's disappointing.
And I think it's unlikely. If Breath of the Wild 2 comes out and I'm playing it on my new Switch and like that thing's not hitting 60 frames per second, that's going to be kind of a bit of a bummer. But I mean, the hardware has to be improved if just because it's going to be able to output 4K on TV, right? Like there's, so there has to be improved. No, again, well, I don't know. I don't understand it anymore.
So I wrote about this, and the story's not up yet. So there are multiple ways to do this. One way they could do it is sort of to fake it by putting something like Marseille, a company called Marseille has this thing called the M Classic.
That's a city in France. That's not a company.
And this company has this thing called the M Classic. You could plug it in and it'll post-process an image from something like the Switch and upgrade it. And it can upgrade it to like 1440p and it works really well. It makes it look much crisper, much cleaner. It improves the colors. It improves the sharpening. It's a really cool thing. And they could just put something like that in the dock and, you know, spruce it up a little bit and make it so that when you run a game from the Switch in docked mode, it looks like it's 4K. They could do that. I don't think they will. I don't think that's the route they're going to go. I think that would be a waste, because why not put that effort towards something that is inside the Switch so you do get benefit when you're in handheld? And then also, if someone doesn't use the standard Nintendo Switch dock, they're not going to get those benefits. And then it doesn't make a ton of sense. They just could do that. That technology's out there. And if it's like the cheapest and easiest way for Nintendo to do something, maybe that's the route they go. My guess though here is that, and I wrote this in the story as well, my hunch is Nvidia wants to get Nintendo onto DLSS, and that's going to require getting Tensor cores on a Tegra chip, something that hasn't happened yet. Something that would be possible, though, if they went from the 14-nanometer process that they're using with TSMC right now, and they shifted down to the 8-nanometer process from Samsung, or the 7-nanometer process from TSMC. That would create more room on the system of the system on a chip, and that would have its own benefits. It would be more power efficient, and then you could use that extra power either to increase battery life, increase performance, or both, basically. And so that's where your boost would come from. And then at the same time, that the more room on the system on a chip would mean there's more rooms for something like a Tensor Core, and Nvidia would have to customize that themselves. And I think, I turned down my volume on my mic. I think Nvidia has the motivation there because they want people on DLSS before AMD gets their competitor DLSS out there. And the best way to do that, the best way to get developers to want to use DLSS for sure, is to put it on the Switch. That system gets a lot of games. Those games could really benefit from it. And then those games would want to use it on PC as well, because they'd already be integrating it, and that would help sell more NVIDIA GPUs and turn it into like an industry standard. So I think the motivation from NVIDIA's side is there. And Nintendo could just be like, oh, okay, well then help us get a good deal on this stuff. I know that switching to a new process would be pretty expensive, but they've been putting these things into motion for quite some time before the price of these of the chips went up and wafers went up. So I think a lot of that stuff's already in motion. That's my guess. I don't have any confirmation there to back any of that stuff up. So, and if that's the case, I think the system could be really cool and run really well. There's a question I want to bring in here.
We have a couple super chats too.
Okay, read those first. Yeah,
sure. So from Gaz, we have £5. He just asks, how much for 3 strands of your hair, Jeff?
£5, 1 quid. Is that what it is? A penny, pence?
I don't know.
Hi, Gaz. Thanks for showing up, man. I appreciate it.
How come no one wants to buy my hair? from Kay Asante.
I don't know where it's going to come from, Mike. That's the problem.
Wow. Kay says the Tegra and the Switch is downclocked. On the Nvidia Shield, there's no throttling for mobile, so it hits 4K. I bet they're just using more of the X1.
So yeah, so this is a really good point. The Tegra on the Switch is downclocked. That means there's a lot of overhead that already exists there. The reasons that they're not using that extra power, though, is that I think they don't want the fan going crazy. So I think there would be some improved efficiency somewhere. And I think that they still will use the Tegra X1. I just think that there is a chance that it'll be the X1 on a smaller process, so it's even more efficient, and they could just get all of that extra power and performance without having to do much more work. So it makes sense to me.
I'm very excited to read this one from CJ Christopher, $5. Thank you, CJ. If you can spill any more Elden Ring beans, I'll give you 1 month pass on my private OnlyFans /small PP boy.
All right, I'm thinking of something because I really want that. That's a good prize right there.
We mentioned the horse. I think everyone knows about the horse.
Yeah, there's a horse. Yeah, I got nothing. I told you there's a screenshot out there, but I'm not going to share it. So it's not mine to share.
Not even for a month pass free.
I know, small TV boy. I am scraping the bottom of the barrel here, Mike. I'm trying to represent for both of us.
Your hair. You won't show your leaked pictures. What good are you?
I don't know. That's a very good point. I don't know. All right. So I think I don't know if the question is actually in the questions here, but Eat the Hype was asking me on the Discord earlier if we think that this version of the Switch will have games that only run on this version of the Switch, similar to the way that Game Boy Color worked.
Or new 3DS, but no, because just new 3DS, they jumped off of that ship almost immediately, right? Like they launched Xenoblade Chronicles for new 3DS, and I feel like there were a couple more.
Minecraft.
And that was it. Minecraft was, they did not want to do that very much at all. So I don't see them doing that here. I mean, what would it even be? Because you can't do that with an important game like Breath of the Wild 2 or Pokemon Legends. So I can't imagine. I don't think so. No way.
I think this is coming from Nate the Hate, and he's saying that he knows of at least one game. And it wouldn't surprise me if there's like one project out there that is doing this, and it's maybe being treated as like a loss leader, but it won't be. It's not going to be a common thing. I mean, they're just going to want to. I mean, everyone understands it. They're going to want to sell it to as many Switch owners as possible, and that means supporting the base Switch.
You don't want to cut. You lose out on 80 million Switch owners as potential customers for your game.
Right, and these are Switch owners that are buying a lot of games, and this new Switch is going to be hard. Like one that we haven't talked about, and they said this is another tidbit in that Bloomberg story. I guess is they expect to maybe have like a million ready to go by the time they're launching, and this thing's going to be just as supply constrained as the other consoles because it's going to be using similar chips. Yeah, it might be worse, and it's going to be really hard to find. And the whole point of like a system like this from Nintendo's point of view has always been to filter down system to have the hardcore subsidize the spread of consoles. So your most hardcore are the ones most willing to spend money on hardware, and so you give them something new, make them want to buy the new hardware, and then they sell their old hardware. It's a process we've gone over before on the show, and that is the base motivation here for Nintendo. If that's your motivation, cutting off that old audience, just as some of these people are getting Switches for the first time and they're going to get the base one, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I wouldn't expect it to happen often. Maybe a couple just like the new 3DS, just like we were talking about there.
I expect even less than that, but we'll see.
No, I think you're right. I agree. Okay. I don't even know if there will be one at launch, like when that new system launches. Like it's going to be about like Breath of the Wild 2 or something like that. And that game is clearly going to be on all Switches. All right, let's move on. If anyone has any other questions there, we have some other questions. And when we get to the questions section, we'll talk about that then. But send in your super chats as well if you have specific questions about that. Let's get to some of these other news stories. Epic is buying Mediatonic/Fall Guys. What are your thoughts, Mike?
I mean, you know, Epic has a lot of money. Fall Guys was a hit. right? I could have just said Epic has a lot of money. Sure. I mean, and here's a service game that they can kind of add to their roster. Isn't this game made in Unity? So that's kind of funny. I think
you might be right. That is pretty funny.
Huh. But you know, whatever. Who gives
whatever. Yeah. It's just part of their strategy. I mean, they want to have as many service games as possible. I think they think that that is the most important. I think they'll continue funding the other developers that are making other kinds of games sort of in a hands-off way. And they'll keep buying exclusives. But when it comes to acquisitions, it's going to be games like this and like Rocket League stuff that they can add like the Epic sign in stuff to. This is good for Fall Guys. Like cross progression would be great and cross play, like full cross play. That would be great. And being able to like have people use names that they choose on PC instead of just the random names like that. All that stuff would be good. I don't know. I think Fall Guys kind of feels like it's going to have a harder time getting people to come back than something like Rocket League. Fall Guys feels like slightly more flavor of the month, but
a little bit. Part of that. So its limelight got taken by Among Us pretty quickly, but I mean, it still was a big deal and it still had a consistent, you know, player base. So, you know, I get it. It makes sense. And it's a fun game and it's easy to get back into, probably, you know, easier than, say, even maybe like a battle royale or something. So
if it was free to play on Switch, I would like when it, once it launches on Switch, I would definitely play it. I'm probably not going to buy it again on Switch though. Probably not. All right. Story number four here. I wrote down shitty GG guy left Hogwarts Legacy developer Avalanche. So that, yeah, that he was like a creative director or creative lead on the game or something like that. And he had like a YouTube channel where he was just kind of a dumbass, basically.
It's like a typical reactionary.
Like the boring type too. Yeah.
It's like about Gamergate. It's about complaining about whoever was the most recently canceled person or stuff like that. And how actually they're okay. So yeah, you know, we did it again. We canceled someone, Jeff. We did it.
Yes, we did it. Yeah. I was totally paying attention to this. I took time out of my day to make sure that Mr. Potato Head turned trans to do this, and it was a successful day for me as an SJW. Mike,
yeah, so. You did that. You shrunk Lola Bunny's breast size.
Yes,
you've been really busy.
I forgot that was going to be the opening. I was going to pretend I was upset about that. Now I'm mad at myself.
What's funny is that so this guy is saying that this was a completely like independent decision that he made or something like that. What's funny is both sides don't believe that. People who are glad he is gone don't believe that. And also the people who think that he was unfairly canceled don't believe that.
I guess not much else to say there. I'm still at a point where it's hard to feel excited about Harry Potter stuff just in general. I always imagined reading those books to my kid. And that feeling has really sort of soured, obviously. Because of J.K. Rowling, and that hasn't changed, and it's not going to change. So we'll see. I like Avalanche's developer. It's going to make it slightly easier now that this person's gone. But whatever. Well, I just want to see the game and see if it's even worth caring about.
Yeah, I definitely need to see the game at some point.
So. Exactly. Mike, tell me about this next one. Valve is ending the development on Artifact. Is that just a big shocker there?
Well, man, what's funny to me is I forgot that about Artifact for a good bit, and I didn't realize that they did launch the beta for Artifact 2.0 last year, like last March. I must have known when it happened, but I forgot.
And
I mean, that was a year ago, so if I had been paying attention, this would have been very obvious because they launched that beta, you know, way back when. But yeah, I mean, they're pretty forthright about it. There's not enough interest in the thing, so they don't want to make it anymore. They're going to release both versions. So there's like the original Artifact that was first a disaster, then Artifact 2.0, which nobody noticed, are both like just going to be free games that you can play now if you want to, but they're not going to get any updates. So I can't imagine they're going to have much of a player base. But yeah, it's bizarre. It's a high profile failure from a game developer you used to never think about failure with, right? And you used to never associate them with that. But Artifact was such a weird thing, and so much of it goes back to launching a digital card game like that as a premium game for $20 and then still expecting people to buy cards. And then the game itself was kind of weird. Maybe it could have gotten over that anyway. But it's interesting because for so long it seemed like the obvious path for all these people was the redemption thing. No, you have to Final Fantasy 14 your game. And I think we're going to see less of that now, because first Anthem and now this, people are like, you know, we don't have to do that. Turns out that's expensive and hard.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, there is some I think some companies are going to want to still try to bring back their games. And I think in a lot of situations, it makes sense. But it doesn't mean it makes sense in every situation. I think Anthem and Artifact are good examples where just take those resources and put them somewhere else. If no one is talking about your game, it's not worth it. Like, people were complaining about Final Fantasy 14, and they couldn't stop talking about how much they were mad and disappointed. And that's still something you can work with. If people are just forgetting about your stuff, which is like, I think where Avengers is like right on the cusp there, right? Avengers is like about to fall over on that side. And
it's hard to tell. I mean, Hawkeye, I think it's coming out soon. And that's like the second hero since that game came out, which feels like a very slow pace for a game that never garnered that much interest anyways.
Right, and so they're going to have to, like, I think they're going to see what Spider-Man does. And
I feel like Spider-Man will certainly be the last hero. I don't think they're going to add a hero after Spider-Man, unless something was, like, a deal was made, or I don't know. But it's hard to imagine they're going to want to put too much more work into that one.
Yep. I guess we could just talk about that story now. Avengers is getting more grindy. So I guess they have a big up. I think it's the Hawkeye update you're talking about. And when that happens, they're going to make it so that there is a more of a curve, a leveling curve, when you go from level 1 to level 50. Not the in-game stuff, just the actual like grinding
through
grinding through your levels. And they're like, oh yeah, that was just like a straight line, basically. And we want to make sure that people have more time with each level so they can get more comfortable with their powers. And I'm at a point where I've never even played through that stuff. I'm mostly just stuck in the campaign and haven't gone back to it. But when I look around to see the reaction to this, no one seems to like it. No one seems happy.
It is a bizarre decision. So I actually played Avengers a bit and like Avengers fine for what it is. Of all the problems Avenger has, the fact that people were leveling up too fast is so far. Plus, so first off, not really a problem. Second off, of course people aren't going to like that change. Why make it? like how can you not think about the optics of something like that? You're literally just making something harder and longer to do, which gamers never want, right?
Yeah.
I almost understand what they're saying. Like, you do level up pretty fast in Avengers, and sometimes it feels like you're just going from, you know, story quest to story quest, which in a way is fine also. Like, who cares?
Right.
So, and I guess the problem they identified or think that they have is that people are leveling up so fast that they're not getting acclimated to all their abilities and all the game systems and stuff like that. Maybe that's a problem. This is not the solution to that problem.
Right, because like you don't get the full idea of what a character is until you're level 50, right? That's the point where you've unlocked everything.
Right. That's also right. You need to have all those things, all those abilities unlocked to really have fun with a character anyways. It's bizarre. I mean, like all these kind of games, for the most part, the story, the campaign is kind of a tutorial. Not tutorial is a tough word, but you know what I mean? It's sort of a prelude to the games as service aspect of all of it anyways. So I think getting people through that is good. Get them through it in a fast, interesting, mildly fun way. To artificially make that longer is bizarre. They're going to backwalk that.
Well, are they going to walk this back, or is this the prelude to free to play? Is this you do this now so that once you're free to play, the curve is there to a point where you could sell speed up items and stuff?
I just can't imagine this game having any more interest as a free-to-play game, to be honest. Because I don't really think it's a game that you could just play every single week. You're gonna run out of stuff to do. There's just not that much stuff to do.
All right. Quick one here. PS Store is gonna stop selling movies and TV shows. You devastated, Mike?
It still did that. Unless it's those UMDs, then I don't care.
Isn't it weird when you stumble on something like that on like Windows or something? You're like, wait, is the Microsoft Store has like movies in it? I don't even know if it still does, but I think in the past it had. And I'm like, or like the music shop. I'm like, who's buying music in Windows?
I mean, it's an artifact from a different time when the idea of digital movies was so exciting that like Sony had to get in on it.
Right. And it feels like Sony is just they're looking around and seeing what is making profits and what's not, and like what's not making enough profits, and probably a division dedicated to like signing deals to get stuff onto PlayStation Store to sell movies and TV shows is probably just not worth the effort.
Take
that money, put it somewhere else. Get like that is more profitable. All right. So it does seem like that Bethesda and Xbox deal is going through. Earlier today, it seemed like it was in the midst of closing. I don't know if that's changed. I haven't like looked to be updated yet. But it seemed like basically it's a done deal. I guess what do we expect now, Mike? From what I know, they're going to talk about this, and I think that that's still going to happen in mid-March. What do you think that looks like?
I don't. My expectations are pretty low, personally. I mean, what can they do? The only game that you would think would be ready-ish to talk about is Starfield, right? Unless there's like
Wolfenstein 3 or something like that. Yeah,
Wolfenstein 3. Maybe they're going to come out with a bunch of like big improvement patches for some of their big games. Like here's a big patch for, I don't know, Skyrim or, you know, Fallout 4. Look how much better it's going to look on Xbox Series X now. Wolfenstein 2, Doom, all that stuff. So, you know, I don't even know which one of those have already had those kind of things also. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to come out and answer some of the questions. I don't know if they, like, months and months ago, I don't know if they were thinking, like, once we have this deal closed, we're going to have to come out and just straight up tell people whether or not these games are going to be exclusive to Xbox or not. But, man, that has just been, that conversation will not go away. It's the first thing everyone wants to talk about. And I think that they probably have to answer that. I think they probably have to say exactly what their plans are for that. We'll see if they do. But I do also think they'll explain kind of. Hold
off on that. I don't think they're going to want to talk about that. But they absolutely have to.
You might be right. But it just seems like, man, maybe it's a personal thing. I want that conversation to go away. So maybe if they do answer it, that'd be nice. But like rip off the Band-Aid basically would be my thinking there.
Sure.
But there might be good reasons not to rip off the Band-Aid and to like just slowly explain it over time, you know, title by title, because it's probably how they're going to be thinking about it for a while. I think they'll probably also explain like how the relationship between Bethesda and Xbox, the core Xbox, you know, brand right now will continue for the foreseeable future. Cause it's not going to be day one. Like Bethesda's going to be come underneath Xbox and just like answer to everyone at Xbox. Bethesda's going to maybe even like have their own E3 showcase separate from Xbox. Cause it's just, that's happening so soon. They're in the middle of planning that, and maybe they'll have to explain that sort of stuff. So I expect to be like, you know, kind of maybe a big fact, and maybe they'll do that as a video or something or a stream. But I don't think they're not going to talk about Starfield. I don't think I would be very surprised if they showed anything really of Starfield.
I don't think so either. I just brought up because that like out of the big, not even you, it's just Bethesda publishing, like Bethesda, like that's the next one, right? And we haven't heard much. Hey, $2 from Nick Turbo. What do you think about Phil Spencer's shelf?
What do you think, Mike?
I don't remember what was on there. I know everyone looked. Nothing's going to top you accidentally showing off an Xbox Series S in your background. So
he's got the Ludens thing from Kojima Productions next to the Xbox logo. That's bigger than that, right?
Ludens? What do you mean Ludens?
I don't know. Whatever the name of the Kojima Productions like icon is. I thought it was like Ludens.
Sure. Well, I mean, what can that be? Is like, Death Stranding's pretty tightly
well the next set as a
PlayStation. Well, thank God.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I was on Miles's in chat and I was on his show, for their Windows Central chatter days on Saturdays with a good name. And we were asked about this and I said that I could say that the stuff on the shelf is significant and I'm like still kind of hesitant to say much more, but it's not like me just saying stuff. He is deliberately, he knows what he's doing and he is deliberately putting the stuff on the shelf like that. I will say, I don't think he can go back to this well again. He should probably stop doing this going forward. Because if that Kojima deal isn't done, doesn't this just throw a wrench into things if people are suddenly talking about like Xbox acquiring Kojima Studios?
But, I mean, it better be pretty late into something happening here relatively soon, right? Yeah. Hey, we have $2 from Jedi Moss for $1.99 to be more specific. Will E3, digital or otherwise, happen this year? I mean, there's going to be some kind of a digital E3 event. I don't know how pathetic it's going to be or not, but I think there's going to be something.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, we know that the live
show, they want to do something,
right? That we know that the live event was officially like canceled by some LA organization this past week. I didn't put that in news because I'm like, yeah, of course, no shit. But yeah, a digital E3 that is like officially E3. Who knows? Like Mike says, if something will probably happen, it'll probably be pretty pathetic. Will an effective E3, like something that is, you know, by all measures and standards, is this E3 when you look at it? Yeah, this still is what we expect and what we want from E3. I think that's much more likely. I think a lot of stuff will be condensed into at most 1 month period, but likely a lot of stuff's going to happen during that would have been that E3 week and like the couple days leading up before and a couple days after. So in that 10-day span in June, I would expect to see a lot of stuff. I just don't expect most of those companies to go through E3. It just doesn't make any sense financially. You're not going to get that much of a bump.
let me be clear, a lot of what people like best about E3 isn't really necessarily anything to do with like ESA's E3. It's Microsoft or Bethesda or Nintendo like holding their big press conference things and venues outside of the E3 convention center or that weekend. So there's like timing and planning going on. But again, what does that look like? Does that feel like an E3? Is it really involved with quote unquote whatever a digital E3 is that year? Like, are they all going to put a sticker? I don't know. I don't know what it looks like.
Yeah, I'll just say I have little faith in the ESA to pull something like this off. They have shown very little evidence of leadership and the ability to think creatively, and they've just turned away partners, you know, since last year, and you know, even before that with the leak and stuff of you know,
docs. They're very good at leaking our personal information, but yeah, they aren't very good at putting on events lately.
Yeah. All right. I guess to finish up that Bethesda thing, I'll just say, like, eventually Bethesda will go underneath Xbox, but that's going to take time. It's just going to take time. And logistically, I think, going into E3 this year, they might still want to they're not really independent, but they might have their own showcases just because that will make it the easiest. So I wouldn't like read anything into that. That's still like, this is a part of Xbox, and Xbox will be, and Game Pass will be brought up a million times if Bethesda has their own E3 event. It's just going to take time to sort of integrate the management structures and the communications and how that stuff is going to look and who gets to make the final decisions for these things. It's going to take time.
We have a from Gerardo David Escudero, MX 50. What is MX?
I think that's going to be 50 Mexican pesos. So like five.
All right.
Like five gotcha. Bucks. Yeah.
Thank you, Gerardo. Do you know something about the supposed Bandai Namco next event? You pay good money for this one. You better have something.
No, I don't. I wish I did.
Whoops.
I don't know. Well, I think that you could read too much into this, and I don't want to get people's hopes up for this, because this could be this could just be a wet fart that no one cares about. So let's wait and see. Let's wait and hear more stuff. Let's get past this Games Live Japan thing that is happening in the next couple of days, because Bandai Namco and like the parent company of From Software are sponsors of this event. And
that's what we're going to see Elden Ring is what you're confirming right now. Oh
God, okay, no, good. Please stop. Please stop. Please stop. I still don't think that's even the case, but like, let's just see what they do there. Like, they're both going to be there. Let's see what they say. And then if nothing happens there, let's start looking closer at Bandai Namco next.
I've been informed that 50 Mexican pesos is $2.34 US dollars. So you're,
oh, well, you don't, no, you're right. That's the real money. No, here's what's really happening. No. thank you so much for that, man. I appreciate Dorado.
Tales of Arise. I forgot that. Yeah, the next Tales game Bandai's working on. That's what I actually interested to hear about.
That's probably when we'll hear about it then. They got a bunch of stuff happening that's probably going to be there, and they'll want to talk to a Japanese audience. So, yeah. Last story I want to talk about, Shovel Knight toys at Arby's, Mike. Have you gotten any?
No, not yet. I haven't been. It's I'm a practicing Roman Catholic, so I can't eat meat today. And we all know that Arby's has the meat. So I has to not be at Arby's.
So Arby's has the meats and you cannot has the Arby's, right? Okay, I'm following now. This is all in the Bible, right? Is what I understand.
Yeah, it's right after he flips the table.
Yeah.
Bad that they're out of horsey sauce.
Yes, the book of beef. I ordered some Arby's yesterday, and I specifically got Happy Meals. And it was a video game Happy Meal just for Just Dance 2021, not for Shovel Knight. So I posted on Twitter complaining because I like to whine, and one of the communications people for Yacht Club Games, the developer of Shovel Knight, was like, maybe by the end of the month, participating Arby's will have this stuff, and so it's probably just not there yet. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll check back.
I would ask you this question from Panos Apazidis. I'm sorry if you're saying that wrong. Since 5 euros, I'm beginning to learn all these different money symbols, which is very nice.
Yeah, you're getting good at this now. Yeah.
What do you think EA Motive is working on now after their new IP cancellation?
I cannot say.
What?
He told me.
You should have asked me. I might have said.
Yeah. Next time, specify Mike. I I cannot say. I think you'll be happy, though. Probably.
It's an established IP.
Yeah, there you go. Say that.
Yeah, I threw a bone out for them.
Yeah, you threw a bone out there for them. But we cannot say. For real, cannot say. Like, this is a big, big deal one. So just no more about that. Thanks for asking. Thank you for the €5.
I also will not say. Don't give me money. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, don't give him extra money thinking, oh, we'll really be able to get that out of Mike. No, we're not.
And the money just goes to Jeff anyways. It's his YouTube channel.
I try to give you half whenever we get to about $50, Mike. So if you really want to, like, juice this, go for it. But, all right. I got a good reason to go back to Arby's, which I'm always looking for. I'm always looking for a reason to do that. So this is nice. I'll check back. All right, we got questions from the Discord server. Let's get into those. Noble said how to say his name, say their name. There was like an umlaut over the O, and I don't know what that would mean. So I'm just going to keep saying Noble.
does it mean an emphasis? Is it the long? I don't know.
Noble? All right, let's go.
Yeah, I think it'd be like, ooh.
Noble says and asks, if some third parties make their Switch Pro exclusive, here's that question, do you think they will make a cloud version for the OG and the Lite? That's an option, right?
I guess that's one way you can get around it. And we already see people doing these cloud versions of those games. But I mean, I guess then that's a big question of its own, right? Like, how much more powerful is this thing going to be? Are we going to suddenly be able to you know, get like these bigger third-party games on this machine because there's slightly better hardware inside of the Switch? And I don't know if this is going to... I don't know if there's really going to be that big third-party implications from the new Switch design. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that they, you know, we talked about this, the motivations here. What are the motivations? They just want to juice console sales amongst their most hardcore. And you don't get the benefits from that by trying to mess around with, like, the way like, you're not going to have the different color cartridge that the Game Boy Color had, right? That's just not, we're not going to have that separation here. It doesn't make sense anymore. So, yeah. Nick Turbo asks, what is a game that gets more hate than you think it deserves?
Oh, Metroid Other M.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a Metroid Other M defender.
Yeah, explain. Like, you think it's like, is it good combat? You think it's like people just focus too much on the story? What?
Yeah, the story's bad and dumb, but I think that gameplay is kind of fun. That 2.5D thing it's doing is neat. I like the sort of the kind of melding of traditional like Metroid 2D shooting with some more melee action stuff. The whole pointing the controller at the screen to suddenly do the missile shooting was kind of neat. I think people freak out a bit too much about the whole, like, oh, she has to get permission to use her weapons thing. Like, it's a stupid justification for why she just doesn't have all of her power-ups. But all of the Metroidvania sequels do something like that. Maybe this one is especially stupid, sure. But there's all, you know, it's not that much better than, oh, Ridley hit her with his tail and now she lost the ability to jump higher, right? So
yeah. I've never played it. I should play it.
I'm not trying to say it's, you know, one of the best.
No, Metroid games. I've always been interested to play it, though. I wish I would have played it at the time, but like, yeah.
I still had fun playing it.
I'm bad at recalling these sort of things, so I'll just say the Avengers, because I've liked what I've played, and people are like, oh, I really like the campaign, and then it sucks because this live service stuff isn't very good. And I'm like, oh, don't you guys complain about live service games anyhow? And if you like the campaign, isn't that just kind of worth it? Just like the campaign and move on. If the campaign's good, it seems like it's probably a pretty okay game, and you just can ignore the other parts you don't like. But that's just kind of my takeaway from the way people talk about that game. Let's see another one from Nick. Why did the Vita fail? And I'm glad you asked this, Nick, because Mike is actually the one person I think has like actually a pretty good take on this. You've explained it before, usually, about how like Sony's first party wasn't really on the Vita.
Right. Yeah. They didn't have those A-team developers. Like, you know, you had an Uncharted game on there, but it wasn't from Naughty Dog. You didn't have Insomniac making games on the Vita, at least I don't think, right? They had these other studios, and a lot of them were good. Like, you had Bend making something good. You had Media Molecule show up here and there, but you know, you had the Killzone game on there. That wasn't Guerrilla Games making that, at least I don't think. It's hard because there were good games on it, but even some of like its best games, like Gravity Rush, for whatever reason, I think maybe it's just the timing with how people feel about Western versus Eastern games. Like, Gravity Rush wasn't as big a deal as I thought it should have been for a game of that quality, right?
Yeah. So, we didn't talk about it when it happened, but when PlayStation Japan Studios closed down, Gravity Rush was one of the ones. You and Gravity Rush were like some of the games and like fans I thought about. I'm like, oh man, I know he like, and they, that was like one of the games that they made on their own, or maybe it wasn't. Maybe they worked with someone else on that, but
I think it was mostly just them. I think that was okay. Pretty much all of them, unless I'm wrong. And yeah, I love those Gravity Rush games.
Yeah, and I think that's like Gravity Rush 2, I think, contributed to them, to Sony being like, oh, you make these kinds of games, and those games aren't as profitable as our other ones. So it's a shame.
The things that the Vita was really good at just wasn't super profitable. Like, it was very good at being a storefront and playing PlayStation 1 games. How much money are you going to make from doing that? I don't know. It was very good for JRPG fans. Are there enough super JRPG fans like me that are going to make that into something that's going to be profitable enough to compete with a Nintendo 3DS? Probably not. What it really needed was absolute, an insane succession of killer first party games, kind of like PlayStation 4 had. And it had some good ones, but I don't think it had enough of those.
Last one from Nick here. How long do you think it will be before we get Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2? Will they do more DLC like Yuffie in the meantime?
Yeah, I was wondering this too after they announced the Yuffie episode. It can't be insanely long. Some people joke like, oh, it's going to be like 5 years. I feel like it's got to be maybe 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
One of the nice things about this Yuffie episode is I look at that, I'm like, well, there you go. Now they designed Yuffie. So now they got Yuffie to go. And obviously Yuffie is going to be a big part of part two. And even that other character is basically using a staff, but it looks pretty similar to the kind of a dragoon spear that Cid uses in that game. So I'm like, well, there's that, some of that work is being done there too now. So I feel like 2 to 3 years makes sense to me. Much longer than that, it does start to get a little bit weird, doesn't it? Like, are we really going to be 15 years of Final Fantasy VII Remake until we have this whole thing done?
Yeah, I guess the question about DLC, do you think there's going to be, do you think like they do like Red 13 and stuff and they just keep doing these characters like this and that like helps them
break the gap?
Or is it just Yuffie?
I think it's just Yuffie, and I think it's because there's an opportunity here with the PlayStation 5 version. Oh, Square Enix does this with a lot of its games. Kingdom Hearts 3 had one of these. Final Fantasy 15 had a bunch, and I think they even canceled the last one of those because by the time that one was coming out, I think everybody was a little bit over it. So I think they know they can't go to that well too many times again. I think you can get maybe one of these things out there, and it works that it's tied into this PlayStation 5 upgrade.
A question from Eat the Hype, and it's a good one about the Switch, so we can get some more Switch Pro discussion in here. Do you see Nintendo having three systems on shelves, or will this new Pro model replace the current dock model, and what are your price predictions? What do you think, Mike?
I think it'll eventually replace that model. I think they like having what is it called? What's the portable Switch called?
Switch Lite.
Yeah, they like having the Switch Lite there. This will phase that out pretty quickly. I don't think I'm expecting this new Switch to even look very different from that one anyway, so it'll probably replace it pretty seamlessly. I don't think they're going to be in some big hurry to replace it. I don't think they're that concerned about getting confused. They'll probably do an okay job marketing it. I expect price. Normal Switch is still $300, right? So maybe, since there hasn't been a price drop, maybe this one can come in and just be $300, but yeah. $350 probably seems more. I have a hard time imagining it being $400, but.
Right. I think if it's $400, there's going to be a lot more going on in there than what we've heard so far. Like drastic change, like not just the OLED screen. It's going to have to be OLED, 120 hertz, HDR. Maybe with an SSD in there, like that's when you get to $400.
I don't see them doing that.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I agree. So I guess maybe if there's like some like half measure, and they don't have a lot of reason to drop the price of the Switch the way it's selling. Maybe this goes to $350 and then the Switch stays at $300 and then there's the Switch Lite down at $200. But even that doesn't necessarily sound right to me. So, yeah, I guess you're right. I do think they're going to replace it and come in at 300. I guess that would be my guess right now, based on what we know. And you know, we'll, as we hear more, maybe I'll revise that.
And you can sell the old model at 200 until you run out of those, basically, right?
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Nick came back with another one. Which live service game should I play first, Destiny 2 or Division 2?
Gosh, I played both of those at various points. I probably played more of Destiny 2 in the long run. I think Destiny 2 is probably a bit more fun. It's always a good idea with games like these. They always have such big communities to go and ask them what the state of their game is right now. Like, ask them what the state of their game is right now and ask them if it's friendly for new players. Because they'll always have those answers for you. And you really do kind of have to be a super fan of these games to really know that pretty well.
Yeah.
My gut feeling would be Destiny. I, from what I played both times, I had fun with both of them. I think they're both in pretty good places. They seem to be if you're looking for looter shooters, those seem to be your two best choices right now.
Yeah.
Except Bloodless for Warframe, which is a little bit of a different beast, but also good.
Nuble asks, did they extend the Final Fantasy VII Remake exclusive deal for Sony? I don't know if they extended it. I think they just, I think this maybe was always like a 2-year plan. It seems like that's what Sony was doing for like these really big ones is 2-year deals. And so, maybe they extended it in that they are continuing it going forward with like Final Fantasy 16, Final Fantasy 7 Remake Part 2.
Yeah. Now there's an interesting question when that deal is over and we have the new Switch, is that going to be able to run Final Fantasy 7 Remake?
Right.
That's kind of my barometer now. Cause I'm kind of feeling like, no, probably won't. At least it's not right?
It's an Unreal game. So they could really turn it down. Unreal games, have that option that's built into the engine to tune it down really hardcore to get it to run on Switch. But yeah, it'd be pretty rough. So I don't know. Maybe that's one of those ones that just is a cloud game, even on a Switch Pro.
It is a cloud game, and a Barrett game, and a Tifa game.
Okay, all right. From Sir Drew,
I have jokes.
He says, "Thanks for responding to my question on air 2 weeks ago, despite my poor username and verboseness." He's just saying thank you. His actual question is, "How much is Square Enix looking at what happened with Anthem next recently? Avengers is starting to look like it could be make or break for real this time, and not just in the meme way. I liked it enough at launch, but it would take a Taken Queen equivalent to bring it back." And we touched on this a little bit, Mike, but any other thoughts there?
You kind of brought up this point that there's a certain point where it becomes really worth it. When the game that is a mess is Final Fantasy 14, right? And it's not just the Final Fantasy brand, which is like your big brand. It's the numbered 14 one. You kind of can't afford for that game to be this permanent giant black mark on the franchise. And also, Final Fantasy 14 was initially in much rougher shape than Avengers. Mm-hmm. I think the thing hurting Avengers is that it's not a massive bomb. It did disappointing sales. It's not a massive bomb. It's not an awful game. It's a problematic game. So because of all that, I think what you try to do is you make small changes. And those will probably never be sexy enough to suddenly make the game become a giant hit. So I think it's just going to have a bit of life left in it. There's going to be some updates coming out for the next year, maybe a little bit beyond that. And then it'll be done. It's not going to be anything like, some big Avengers is dead and it's done. They're ending development. They've given up with Anthem or with Artifact, but they're gonna wind down on that sooner than they would have if it was a big hit, and it's probably gonna be within a year.
From one of the Discord's very fine mods, Revan, does Ninja Gaiden Collection mean we should look forward to Ninja Gaiden 4, or is Koei Tecmo not interested in old Tecmo / Team Ninja IPs?
Man, I don't know. I could pretend I have a strong inclination here, but I just don't know. I mean, I guess it would just, I think it's just going to depend on how well that Shoji does, but I don't even know if that really is a litmus test, right? I don't know if they're sending that out there necessarily thinking about Ninja Gaiden 4. I think they have an idea of what that's going to sell. Mm-hmm. I think they know that there's some people who like those games and it'll do numbers. My guess is probably not going to see Ninja Gaiden 4. If anything, it may be another reboot. But like, what does that look like? Because when Ninja Gaiden, when that happened before, that's when we were still seeing like these big AAA reboots of like classic Japanese franchises, right? Yeah. Now when a classic Japanese franchise gets rebooted, it looks like Blaster Master Zero, right? It's not going to be like flashy Ninja Gaiden games. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder if like I think Devil May Cry 5 did pretty good, so maybe they're looking at that. And thinking
Capcom's got it figured out. Capcom,
right?
Is, yeah, absolutely.
Right? Yeah, no, yeah. Right. That's the difference.
That's different.
Yep. I think if this Ninja Gaiden collection, you know, does really well and gets a lot of buzz, they'll think about it. But I think otherwise, exactly. How well can it do? Right? Yeah. All right. I think we got just two more. Another one from Nick. Will Nintendo port the original Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask to Switch or the 3DS remakes? I think it's the 3DS remakes, I hope.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting, right? Because you're going to have... It's going to be up next to all these other Zelda games or remakes that are going to look better than that. So I wonder how much more work they're going to do with that. Like how much better is it going to look just by being on the Switch instead of the 3DS? Like how good were those original assets and stuff, right?
Right.
I mean, that was a great port. Like fundamentally, I'd be super fine with that. I think it had a lot of very nice quality of life touches. I thought it looked good. And maybe you can just go in there and touch up those assets and that will be enough. Or maybe... it's funny because this is the reason why we're never going to get a Nintendo 64 like offerings on Nintendo Switch Online. They know that games they can just eventually dole out and remake or like remaster packages on their own, like with Ocarina of Time, what they already did with Mario 64.
Right. They haven't squeezed all the value of selling us those games directly enough times like they have with the NES and Super Nintendo. I think they felt pretty good about the number of times they've resold us those games.
Yeah, and so that's why they're not going to sell a Super Mario World again.
Right. Yeah. So, but they are still doing that with the N64 games. And also, you know, they have that emulator that they made for the Super Mario collection and you know, that with that ready to go, they could sort of just slap the N64 versions into that. Give those Zelda games the same sort of treatment.
I mean, that's true, and they might, because I would be okay with that too. In a way, I like those low. I still like that poly look fine. And again, I think some people would probably aesthetically compared to the 3DS version. Like the 3DS version is some big high def thing now, right? You may as well just have the original. Like, what would you rather had, Mario 64 or the DS remake? I'd rather just have the Nintendo 64 version. It's not quite like that for this.
Yeah,
like,
that's fair.
I would be happier with the 3DS version because I think it looked good. But I don't know.
It's tough. If I had to go with my gut, I would say that it's the 3DS remakes just because Zelda tends to get treated a little bit better than Mario. But... If it just comes down to using that emulator and that's what they made the emulator for, to like for situations like this, that we might end up with that as well. From Low Rule Legend, if Breath of the Wild 2 is not the title to launch alongside the Switch Pro, what will be the launch title?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Like you think that Breath of the Wild 2 would be it. Big game, the first one launched with the original Switch. It certainly makes a lot of sense. It's to the point where if it's not Breath of the Wild 2, it can't be anything that would be as important as that, right? Like, what else do we think is going to be the fall game if not that? We're still wondering, right?
Right. Yes, we still don't know.
It's not going to be those remakes of Diamond and Pearl. That's
right. Like, right, but I mean, you know,
they're simple games. They're chibi style remakes. You can't use that to sell better hardware.
Yeah, chat's saying Metroid Prime 4, Bayonetta 3, Splatoon 3.
Splatoon 3 is next year, and I think we're all expecting this by holiday season, this new Switch. Bayonetta 3, Metroid Prime 4, both I don't really expect this year. Maybe Bayonetta 3. I do not expect Metroid Prime 4 this year. I wish. Like, yeah, I would expect Breath of the Wild 2 before Metroid Prime 4, absolutely.
And oh, yeah. Bayonetta 3. I think there's a chance that this Switch doesn't come until March 2022, but I think that's the latest, like this fiscal year still.
If that's the case, then sure, Splatoon 3.
Right. So, yeah, that's why I'm like, maybe Splatoon 3. But I don't know. I think, honestly, if it wasn't Zelda, my guess would have been Monster Hunter. It would have been Monster Hunter. You release it alongside Monster Hunter. That gives this the system a huge boost in Japan. And you know, it's selling really, really, really well everywhere. It's selling pretty good in Japan, but you pair it with Monster Hunter and then it's going to take off. But clearly that's not the case. Monster Hunter comes out this month.
Soon.
Yeah, it comes out soon. So I think that might have been a plan at one point a long time ago. But clearly that's not how it's going to work out. So so then it's Breath of the Wild 2. I mean, it's going to launch alongside Breath of the Wild 2, I think. I think that's pretty safe to say.
Yeah, I think that's got to be it.
All right, Mike, that does it for questions. If anyone else has any super chats, you got a few more minutes to get those in there. But otherwise, we're going to get to what we've been playing. And I put a little bit more time into Final Fantasy IX, but not much.
Yeah, you better say something. Oh, gosh. Are you still in Alexandria?
Yeah. I have plans for that game. I told you offline that I got a Retroid 2 on the way, and I'm going to use that to stream games, and I'm going to play. It's going to be great.
It better be great.
Yeah. I don't know. Other than that, I've been dabbling in stuff here and there. I'm playing old games on the emulator. I tried to play.
I was doing like last week a ton. Yeah. Just a lot of old game playing, which is great.
Yeah, it's great. I'm still trying to get past the sharks in Echo the Dolphin on Dreamcast.
I'm halfway through the original Echo the Dolphin right now. I'm very proud of myself. That game is long for a Genesis game.
I don't know. What have you been getting into? I'm going to look at my Steam list, see what else I've been playing.
Yeah, well, I guess I should talk about Outriders, right? The people can fly.
Yes.
Kind of looter shooter thing. It has like its demo out now, which it's kind of like the first like prologue and a few of the main story missions after that. And I don't know about this one. The gameplay is fun. It feels good. But it is bothering me with so many cutscenes, especially in the beginning. There's so much story stuff. And I just don't care anymore, Jeff. And obviously that's not the case. There are times video games.
Same.
I'll talk about it, but like Final Fantasy 14, like I've been really enjoying that game story and all that stuff. But like, especially when I'm in this mindset, like, all right, it's a looter shooter. My brother told me to play the prologue so I can do a mission with him. And basically my mindset is I want to get through this. And it's just lore.
Makes it tough. And
introducing me to characters who then die in the next scene anyways. And plus, like, the cutscenes are frequent. The cutscenes, it reminds me a bit of a problem Anthem had, where like cutscenes would happen kind of, if not in the middle of missions, like right at the end when I want to finish a mission and do a new one with my friends instead of sitting here and watching people talk to each other.
Is this the one that has the cutscene jump?
Yeah, this is the cutscene jump. So that's the thing. There's a lot of little cutscenes, which are basically just like transition moments, and they look awkward and weird. The cutscenes themselves are also like the frame rate stutters on them. And I thought that maybe it's just me, but apparently it's an issue a lot of people have. Like the cutscenes just don't look very good. The missions are also so short. Like I'm grouped up with my brother. I want to go out and shoot things. So we're in like the hub town. So we finally go, we talk to the person and they talk to us for a bit and we get the mission. Then we walk to where the mission is and we fight maybe one like large room full of enemies, like one wave of it. And like, even the mission was all like, oh yeah, we got to go stop like Mr. McMeathead or whatever. Like, okay, fine. So then after that, I'm like, I guess we're going to fight a boss named Mr. McMeathead. The guy's name is not Mr. McMeathead. I forget it. But it's like, then we like go into a room. We go into a room. It's just some cutscene with him and someone else shoots him. And I'm like, oh, I guess there was no plot. I guess we literally just, I don't know. Like the combat is good. This is called Outriders. It's the game I'm talking about. Someone just asked.
Yeah.
Like you have like cooldowns and different classes. So it kind of feels a bit in that Destiny or even Anthem vibe a bit. It can look nice. It's kind of like Mad Max meets Avatar is maybe the aesthetic. I don't know. It's a little bit of Borderlands thrown in there. So it looks nice. It's still obviously a bit derivative. I want to try it more because I like looter shooters and I like playing games with my brothers. And if one of these is good, that could be fun.
Right.
But I am not sold.
Yeah. I think that this is what I've heard from most people is that they're lukewarm on it at best. I think, you know, there's some people who just like sort of are jiving with it in the same way that some people jive with the Avengers, you know, sort of, you know, the looter part of that game. Right. But it doesn't seem like it's going to catch on beyond any of these ones that are sort of, it's not going to be the next Warframe that lasts for, or if it is, it's going to take a lot of updates and stuff to get there. It's kind of what I'm hearing. This game is out soon too, right? This game's out in later this month.
I think so, because your progress from this demo carries over.
Okay.
So it's almost kind of like, so it's almost kind of like a free to play, like, let's get people trying this thing sort of thing.
So that was, he was talking about Outriders there. I looked at my Steam playlist and I remembered another game I played, and it was Mickey Castle of Illusion.
Which one? The remake that they did a few years ago?
So I played both, but yeah, it's the remake, because it came up, like, my kids like to watch like some YouTube videos sometimes. I try to be like very judicious with their YouTube use and try to like guide them towards stuff that is mostly banal. And we ended up watching the gameplay of that game, and I'm like, is this like a mobile game? I had no memory of this at all. And so I like went and looked. I'm like, oh, this is that Castle of Illusion. Okay, they did remake that in 2013. All right. And so I went on Steam and I got it, and it had good reviews, and I started playing it, and it's like, it's really good. It's a really good game. It's like really good.
Oh, yeah. That game was great. The original.
Yeah. Yes. And so we also played the original as well, but my kids like wanted to like pick up the controller and play it, 'cause it's Mickey Mouse and stuff like that. But it's just like, there's
what's his name's Miserable or something
like
that.
Bell, yeah. Yes. Miserable. Yeah. Yes. Pretty good name. And like, there's like some really cool ideas in it. Like you jump on clouds to go up into the sky, and the background changes. And if you fall off, you don't die. You just sort of like it animates the world coming back down to the ground, and it feels like this really harsh transition, but you just come back down. You're like, now you fall into this other area of the map, and it just continues from there. And it just feels very cohesive and cool. It just feels more animated and alive than a lot of other platformers. It's a solid game. And then, of course, yeah, the Genesis one, or I think we might have played it. There might have been 32X version, but either way, we played it.
There's no 32X.
Okay, version. All right, so yeah. We put then the Genesis version, and that game's also still good, still fun.
Yeah, that makes me think of a couple of things I want to talk about, but first, Panda Hero brought this up, and I do want to say Outriders isn't the live service game, actually. It's almost more like a Diablo 2. Right. Like, it's coming out. But it feels exactly like one. So like those points still kind of stand, but it is worth pointing out. It's not a live service game, which is appealing about it, right? Like,
right.
It comes out, it could be a full experience. I just wish I liked it more. Yeah. When you bring a Castle Illusion, one of the Genesis games I played was Donald Duck and Quackshot. I played through that whole thing, I think, last week. That's one of my favorite Genesis games, because it's basically like an Indiana Jones game, but with Donald Duck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like kind of Metroidvania-y, not really though, but it's, if you ever played Quackshot, Quackshot's great.
I think I played it just to like dabble in it for a few minutes, not to really play it. Yeah.
One thing I found out recently about Castle of Illusion is they made a Game Gear / Master System version of that game.
Huh.
But it's not like a downpour. They just made a new game. It's supposed to also be great. And then that version got a direct sequel called Land of Illusion, which is also supposed to be great. So if you're looking for more of those, get the master version.
Okay, yeah.
Master system version of Castle Illusion, and then play Land Illusion. I'm actually really curious to try them out, because I've been like watching videos about the Master System recently. And that's supposed to be one of the best games for the system. So
I'll check that out, because we are having a good time with that. And it, like I said, it's like making my kids want to like learn how to use a controller game, which is neat. Yeah. Like, and he was working really hard to like get Mickey to like move forward and jump. So she's like, she's about where Dean Takahashi is. She's about at that level. So.
You should have her beat the competitive.
I totally think about that all the time. So yeah, I should make that happen. All right, let's see. I nothing else really happened with me. Do you want to talk a little bit more about Final Fantasy 14?
Yeah, I've been playing so much Final Fantasy 14 this week, especially yesterday, because I was getting through the Shadowlands expansion, which is the latest one, so its main story. And yesterday, I was like making good progress, and I basically just got into that mindset that I wanted to beat it, and that ended up being at like 3 a.m. But it was just so much fun. I couldn't stop. I was like, after I beat it, I was up for another couple hours. So I was just so jazzed and like I was so amped up. The final boss fights you do are so cool, and the game does such a good job of like it's a story that's starring you, and it is like cutscene heavy and story heavy, but it's very well done. The characters, the villain in this one like might be the second best Final Fantasy villain after like Kefka, and then before Sephiroth. He was great. The music was so fun. I don't want to talk too much about it because it's big spoilers and people should play this game if they're interested. But I have my little black mage and I love my spells are so cool. They're literally like little pocket like supernovas. Like when I cast Fire Force, I'm just like a flamethrower. It's like a freaking explosion, man. It feels so good. Then after I beat it, there's some guy in like the new players channel was like, I'm giving away a free item to people who just hit level 80, which is the max level that I hit. And then I bought like the rest of the loot with him. So now I have these sweet looking loots and I'm looking really cool in my little potato man that I'm playing as. What is your question?
I think the chat they're saying you might have said Shadowlands, which is that the WoW one?
You can understand my confusion.
Yes,
to be fair.
Absolutely.
What really confuses me is the expansion before this for Final Fantasy 14 was Stormbringer, which is just also abbreviated as SB. So you had Stormbringer Stormblood and Shadowbringer. It is confusing.
They're bad names, which is nothing new for Square Enix.
They're okay names isolated, but I think in context it's a little confusing. Like Stormbloods, I like that name.
Yeah, if we're chat, it's like Stormblood, you dumbass.
Yeah, I fixed myself before.
Yes, you did.
Endwalker's a I like the name Endwalker. I like the name Heavensward a lot. Ooh, that's a good name.
So yeah, this that was my question. I think I remember you saying that you really liked Heavensward, and now are you like, is it just it keeps getting better? Like these expansions keep improving.
You have a Realm Reborn, which is the like original campaign or the remake campaign, and it's pretty good. It's a lot of fun because you're playing Final Fantasy 14, you're learning about the stuff. But the story in that one is it's okay. Then Heavensward is fantastic. Love Heavensward. Stormblood is very good, just not quite as good as Heavensward. And then I think Shadowbringers, I had to make sure I was saying the right name again. I think it's right back up there on that Heavensward quality. It is so good. And I still have, they add more story content after the expansions launch. So now I have to catch up on that. And it's also like very significant. A lot of cool stuff happens during these. So I still kind of have more of Shadowbringers to see. But, I'm excited because I'm about to be caught up for the first time.
Right.
Like, I will be on the latest story content as everybody else does when the next patch comes out before the launch of the Endwalker expansion.
Right. I was going to say this is the one where they announced the new one. And OK, Endwalker. That's right. I remember them doing that now. Cool. Yeah.
I could level up more jobs for fun. I could do like the hard versions of these dungeons. I can do more raids. I mean, I bounced off of World of Warcraft pretty quickly after the expansion this time. And again, Final Fantasy 14 isn't nearly as fresh in terms of, having a big release like that. But I am just having so much fun.
No, I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. All right. I don't have any other games though happening this week. Not really. I'm honestly kind of just like looking at the mailman, hoping he's going to bring me my Retroid. So when that gets here, I'll start messing around. I'll put some emulators on there for sure, but I'll be playing some more Final Fantasy IX. I actually did start also Pokemon Gold, but
oh nice,
yeah, so, yeah. Well, I just started it, so we'll see if
I get that. You get Gold or you get Heart Gold?
So I just started Gold because I had it like it was on my Game Boy emulator on the DS that I have, and I didn't have Heart Gold, so I'll just get Heart Gold. I really will try because I only just started Gold and I just kind of wanted to play around with it a little bit, so.
Get Cyndaquil?
Yes, I did. I did get Cyndaquil. Yeah, it was the right choice there. It was out of those three, for sure, easily.
I love your rival in that one, because he's like the thief. He's like the little thief guy who steals one of the Pokeballs. I like Heart. Man, I remember, actually, I think before it even... I was so into Pokemon at that point. I was like a 13-year-old. I think I downloaded a ROM for Pokemon Gold before it came out in America. Like like some fans had already translated.
Fan translation.
And I ran that on my computer, and I very quickly was like, I don't actually want to play the game like this. I can wait.
I was waiting for the fifth Harry Potter book to come out, and I downloaded it early on the internet, and I started reading it. I got about 50 pages into it before I realized, oh, this is just a fan fiction, and I didn't put it together until Dudley Dursley and Harry Potter had a very long conversation about Monty Python. And I'm like, okay, no,
something.
Yeah, it took me quite an embarrassing amount of time to realize what I was doing.
Man, I remember I went to the midnight launch for the seventh Harry Potter book, and somebody was just walking around with a sign that said McGonagall is a Death Eater. And I assumed it was just a spoiler and that person was being a jerk. So the whole time I was mad and I kept reading, but like, oh, we're going to find out that McGonagall is the big betrayer. And it never happened. I was like, okay, that was a weird thing for that guy to do.
All right, let's get out of here. Let's wrap this up. Thank you for listening, everybody. I'm trying to think of I felt like there's some stuff happening soon, but I can't remember anything off the top of my head. I was like, I wanted to, we did a Pokemon starter tier list. I think, I will probably post that over the weekend. Look after that story. Mike will probably post that at some point next week, early next week, but, that should go up on this channel. If you're watching on YouTube, look out for that. But otherwise, Mike, why don't you tell people where they can find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Tolkoto, T-O-L-K-O-T-O. Also, check out 90s Disney, my 90s Disney podcast at 90sDisney.com. Our newest episode there is about the classic Magic Kingdom Nighttime Parade Spectro Magic. So give that a listen.
I don't think I've ever really enjoyed a parade that much, Mike, but this one sounded good. It sounded pretty good.
I think as a kid, I didn't care too much about daytime parades, but nighttime parades are awesome.
I guess that sounds neat. Fancy. Yeah.
This thing also had a very 90s Disney soundtrack, right? With like the really enthusiastic magical choir singing about magic and, you know, love and stuff. And that's what Mikey's are all about.
I'm Jeff Grubb on Twitter. And I'm also Jeff Grubb on Twitch. I'll try to stream some more games this week.
I should just have you play the Ball and Wonderworld demo once a week, and that's the podcast now. Is every week we're just talking as we play the Ball and Wonderworld.
Have you heard that? There's a podcast like that for movies, like The Worst Idea of All Time, where they just watch the same movie like once a week or like once a day or something for a year, and usually it's stuff like. Like an Adam Sandler movie, and like a really bad Adam Sandler movie, and it's like they slowly go insane. So I imagine that would definitely happen with Ball and Wonderworld. Jesus, that game is like out for real, also real soon, like this month, I think.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Well, I think I've already downloaded something I have to review, so I guess you're on that one,
motherfucker. No. All right, we're out of here. Thank you for listening, everybody. He's the review center. I have to do what he says. No. All right, until next week, have a good one. Take care of yourself and goodbye. I'm gonna wave now. He'll cry.